prepared to, they say it'll be a couple of weeks before it come back up. But nonetheless, I think we're on now. And hopefully those folks won't be too upset with me. But, you know, I gave a lot of announcements there in the beginning anyway. All right. So we want to go to. So today, would you turn with me to the book of Genesis? Genesis, where it all began. For those who don't know, that's that first book in the Bible. When you open up Genesis, meaning the beginning. And we're going to go to chapter number three. And I want to go to verse number nine. Chapter number three, verse number nine is where I believe God has us today. And I want to articulate that which I believe he's given me to share with you on today. Amen. Just so grateful to all of you all that's in this space. For God is good and he's so worthy to be praised. So let me see if I can switch to my screen here to be able to start that Bible reading. Okay. I think I've switched here. Amen. Let's see here. All right, here we go. Let me make that a little smaller here. I don't want to eat up all the space. Let's see. Can I make that smaller and get me out of here? Come on. All right. Or maybe I just drag me over here. How about that? Down here somewhere. All right, because y'all ain't got to see me. It's about the word. All right, there we go. That's better. Guess I can go up here now. Well, no, just leave me there. All right, here we go. And it says this. I want to go to 3 and 12. I'm sorry, 3 and 12. I'm a little bit high there. Three and nine. So sometimes when you adjust these windows and stuff in here, they go all over the place. Again, a great resource I've been telling you all I've been using for years, blueletterbible.com. Blueletterbible.com, free. They got a free app. You all just amazing piece of equipment here that you can have on the go for you as a study guide. All right, here we go. And it says this, and the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? So here we find God looking for Adam. So one thing you find here and that God convenes with Adam is the Bible say in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day, meaning here what? He convenes with him late in the afternoon. I know some of us like to get up early in the morning and pray, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a time for that. But here we see specifically this was the time that God and Adam had their thing. They talked, you know, they had their intimacy. Do you not know intimacy means what? To see into me. And how do I see into me is that I have to spend time. You know, there's one thing that I'm learning for myself, you know, intimacy, you know, for men is just not, it's not sex. Amen. It's not sex. It's about spending time and getting to know and learn one another. And I know I can do a better job on that, even myself. And I know many of you can. And these are some of the things we talk about in the Safe House. We want to see strong marriages. Strong marriages lead to what? Strong families, and strong families lead to strong churches, and strong churches lead to what? Strong community, and strong community leads to strong state. Strong state leads to strong nation, a nation under God. Amen. Amen. So it starts with us, man. Amen. I do not run away from that responsibility. So he's looking for Adam. He's looking for Adam in the cool of the day. And normally Adam is there and Adam is waiting what to convene with God. When you find yourself in sin, the first thing you do is you run away from God. Why? Because when you have sin, sin separates you from God. Because it takes away the mind of God. Sin separates you from God because the first thing it's going to do is what? It's going to take away the mind of God. So this is why it's a battle for you and I when we're in that space to what? To come back to him. Everything in us said, well, I'm not good enough. And if you notice here, what we find is what? He's asking for Adam. Next verse, he says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So the first thing we do, remember I told you what? When we find ourselves in sin, when we find ourselves contrary to God's will, when we find ourselves that we've fallen short, the first thing we do is what? We run and we hide ourselves. We hide ourselves. Why? We hide ourselves out of shame because we know we've missed the mark. You know, I think about, you know, you all know I have a small son and he's 3. And when he does things where he know he shouldn't do, what he does is where he go and hide in shame. You know, when we're going through that potty training deal, you know, when he's done something, you know, what do? He go hide himself in shame. Like, where are you hiding for? Why are you hiding, Preston? Because, well, he's done something that he know he ain't supposed to do. Amen. But he's fallen short. We all fall short. Think about yourself in Christ just like a kid. You know, there you start out in Christ as a baby. And what happens is over time, you grow and you grow and you grow more into that space. Are y'all with me? What happens is we continue to grow, and as we grow into that space, we get better and we learn what not to do. We learn how to take care of ourselves, and we grow to the Bible, as the Bible said, we grow to the meat things of God. We talk about what? You have to milk things. The milk things, if you're a new believer, there's some things that I just do not expect that a new believer. If they do them, great. I want them to do them. I think they should do them. But I am also aware that there's some things that they're going to do, they're going to miss the mark. And there's some things as adult that you would not expect for adults to do. Why? Because we should be at a level of maturity. But there's sometimes things that we end up finding ourselves doing, and then what? We put ourselves in a place of shame and we hide ourselves. And here, what he tells him, he's naked. Now, I find it interesting that Adam starts here by telling him, look, I am naked. Because we find out what God asked him next is a very powerful question. In chapter 3, verse 11, it says this. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? He asked him a question, because prior to this, Adam was not naked. Why was Adam not naked? He was naked, but he wasn't naked. Think about this for a moment. He was naked, but he was not naked. Was Adam naked here in the physical sense? Yes. Meaning that if I took off all my clothes and showed my bare skin before you, I would be considered naked by that definition. But spiritually, Adam was not naked. He was covered by whom? He was covered by God. So when Adam finds himself in a place of sin, he does what? He comes from under the covering of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me teach this thing today. You come from under the covering of God. This is why men is important. If you want your family to be covered, you must be what? Up under the covering of God. We have to be under the covering of God, because when God covers us, then our families are what? Covered by us, and therefore they're covered. But when you're out of line, when you're out of line, then they're only covered by what? By the little bit that you can do. Yes, human will can go a little bit, but it can't go all the way. My human will of what I want to do can take me to a certain level, but I cannot do it all. What happens when I reach the end of my rope? What happens when I reach all that I can do? The Bible says what? When you've done all you can do to stand, then what? You stand with your lines girt against you. How can I stand with my lines girt against me? Well, it's only one way I can do that. When I've done all I can do, that means I'm done. You know, 100% of 100 is 100. There is no such thing as 120%. Do y'all, you know, you do know that. Mathematically speaking, that's not true. That means it's over that amount. 100 is 100. It's either there or it's not. You either zero or you one. All right. So therefore, he finds himself what? Uncovered. Because now he's what? From under the will of God. And now God is questioning him. How do you know you were naked? Because what? He did something he shouldn't do. They gave him some knowledge that he shouldn't have. Do you not know that you and I can do things ourselves to give us knowledge that we shouldn't have? Oh, come on, somebody. You know, you think about it when we talk in terms of premarital sex. You know, if you don't ever know that, it's not something that you ever would really miss. If you don't know, you know, alcohol and all these things, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that these things and drugs, these things are not pleasurable, because if they were not pleasurable, people wouldn't do them. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that sex is not pleasurable, because it is, but there's a place and time for that. There's a construct which God has created that we have that in, and that's the institution of marriage. There's a time and place that he has with all these things, and if you get them before your time, if you get them before you should have them, now your eyes are open to things, and now you have a desire for something that sometimes may not be a bad thing, but out of season. You know, I may desire, for me, desire, what I say, for instance, some fresh apples, some fresh North Carolina apples. Well, the truth of the matter is that the fresh North Carolina apples will not be here for a while. It's going to be a couple of more months before those apples in the mountains are going to start coming off those trees. Why? Because it's not part of the season. Do you not know you can desire something outside of your season? See, the problem is it's not the desire. It's the timing of the desire. See, sometimes we want to criticize each other. And I, like I said, I tell people, sex is a wonderful thing. Right? Want you to be, but it's a season for that. It's a place that he has for that for you. And if you're working and you're operating outside of that season, you're setting yourself up to be naked. And when you're naked, you're exposed. And when you're exposed, now you what? You in trouble. Let me finish this so I can get to my subject, amen. All right, so then he said, has thou, the next question, God asked him this. He said, has thou eaten of the tree of whom what? I command thou shall not eat. And this is what Adam says. And he said, and the man said this. Notice here, it was what? It was the man. The woman thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Adam does here what? Adam shifts the blame from himself to Eve and said, you know what? Yeah, I was doing good until you gave me this woman, this gift. Gave what? Gave is what? Gift, right? Gave is passive of you like gift, right? So in essence, what he said is this gift you gave to me, because you notice I didn't ask for her. You gave it to me. So if you gave it to me, it was a gift. A gift is what? Gift by definition is what? Is something that's given without any recourse, right? I'm not expecting anything in return. So this gift you gave to me, she gave this to me. She gave it to me as a gift. Right? So the gift gave a gift. This is what he's saying. Listen, gave to me to be with me. She gave me of the tree. So the gift gave me a bad gift is what he's saying. And because it was a gift, it was freely given. I did eat. That I did eat. Let me get out of this. Amen. All right. How many of y'all follow me with that? That I did eat. All right. So let me use for a subject this morning. If I have a subject for you, for you to follow with me today, is I have a really a rhetorical question for you, or something I want you to ponder and I want you to think about all week. Is the gift your source of trouble? Is the gift your source of trouble? Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. Lord, I just want to say I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing morning that we've had thus far. Lord, I thank you for our laying down on last night, Lord, and to the point that we can get here and be before you here on today. Lord, as you watch them, you keep your people. Lord, you touch them from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Lord, I lay out the words, Lord Jesus, that come through my mouth. Lord, you be your words, Lord Jesus, that touch them in a way to let them consider and think about things differently, oh God. Bless them throughout the week, Lord. You keep them, hold them in the palm of thy hand like only you can, Lord. And we want to say we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor, all the praise, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So this is last time. If you have somebody else you want to be part of this service, go ahead and hit the share button, share this with them wherever you may be, because we're about to go in right now. So I asked the question, is your gift the source of your trouble? Here we find that Adam finds himself in a world of trouble. He's in trouble with the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Here we find that Adam, that we knew Adam was here in the earth, and Adam was there by himself, and God saw that Adam was alone. And since he was alone, he thought that was what? Not good for that man to be alone. So the Bible goes in and it tells us that the first operation was born. Matter of fact, it was just the first, you know, skinless, non invasive operation of the world, where he takes a rib from Adam's side and he fashions woman after his likeness. Amen. And now he say he should call her woman. And therefore, they are there to dwell in the garden together. Amen. And he's put Adam in charge of this woman. Adam is in charge of it. He does not rule over her, but he does have responsibility for her, because she's there to what? To support him. So as they go through and Adam and she are there in the garden, then Eve gets off and she's doing her own thing, and you know, and she finds of the tree of good and evil. Now Adam was there and he's supposed to have instructed her that this tree you're not supposed to eat of, and you're not to eat of it. And now, does, you know, Eve has some choices to make. She can do whatever it is that she wants to do. Why? Because she's a free being, and God has given us free choice. We always have free choice. I preach that, and I preach that to the day I die, that we always have the opportunity to make choices. And serving God is a choice, and it's a choice that I consciously make every single day, every single minute, every single hour. I've been tried this week. I don't know about you, but I've been tried in a couple of unusual ways this week. But nonetheless, that what? Still, I have a choice, and I choose how I react to those things that have happened to me on this week. But here, Eve has a choice, and Eve, what, she listens to someone outside of the call. Oh, come on, somebody. There is a divine order, but we supposed to be listening to God. And then if you're in the institution of marriage, then wives, they, what, you listen to your husbands. And if your husband is following God, then you have a man of God there that, what, can tell you and instruct you. Don't mean that you might not always like what he has to say, but he's instructing you. Why? Because he's getting instructions from God, and you have to trust him enough and believe that he's a man of God, that he's getting instructions from God. Now, if he's not a man of God and he's doing things contrary, then that's a whole, you know, different situation. Amen. And that's why I believe those who are unsaved, not unsaved, but those women who don't have spouses, and those, then God, in many cases, have given you a pastor to be able to help and support you in this space. Amen. You know, help you with, you know, decisions and be able to give advice and bounce things off of. You know, I ask my wife for things all the time, advice all the time. She's my helpmeet, right? She's there to help me when I don't see certain things and things don't maybe make sense to me, or I didn't consider certain stuff. I asked her. Amen. So the Bible goes on and it says that, you know, she was there, and what she did was she stopped listening to Adam. Oh, come on, somebody. She stopped listening to Adam, and she started listening to what? To Satan. She stopped listening to Adam, and she started listening to Satan. She started listening to what it is that he had to say. What was he doing? He was here, but putting honey in her ear. He was telling her everything. You know, I often remind me of, you know, times when my wife and I, we went to go buy vehicles, and we at the car dealership, and I already know, you know, what we're going to do and what we can afford to do. And she knows this too, but you know, the salesman, his job is do what? To make the deal sound as sweet as possible. And his job is what? He wants to close the sale. So sometimes he'll tell, you know, people any and everything. You know, I've been there at times he's told my wife this and that, and I got down there and, you know, and I was like, well, what about this? And what about that? And had some, you know, some things, and some, and by the time we done, didn't mean we did not close the deal, but you know, the deal was probably a little bit significantly different than it was in the beginning. Why? Because he was there, what, to get everything he could. And if he could take advantage of her, he would. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why God tells us as men that we are what? To protect our wives. Amen. There's some gifts that he's given me. There's some gifts that he's given her. And my job is to protect her and the ones that she don't have. And her job is to protect me and the ones that I don't have. Are y'all with me? I mean, tell the truth and shame the devil. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens this morning. So then he goes. So he goes on. And so now she's what? She's been listening to the serpent. So now she's off track a little bit. But notice, things are still on. Why? Because even though, watch this, even though Eve has decided, she's made a choice to step out from under the covering of Adam. Adam at this point in time is still under the covering of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? At this point in time, so here's the covering. The covering of God is here on Adam. Adam is under the covering at this time. And here's Eve up under that covering. And Eve has made a choice, so she stepped outside of the covering. But they're still good. Why? Because Adam is covered by God. Are y'all with me? So now what happens is we find ourselves getting to this point that what Eve eats, and Eve, the Bible said that Eve eats it, and she found it to be good, and she found it to be sweet. And the Bible says that she was deceived by the enemy. So now she does what? She goes in and she gives this very fruit to Adam. Why? She didn't give it to him because she wanted him to be deceived, but because she was deceived, she thought it was good. She thought this was a good deal. This is the equivalent of me being at the car dealership with my wife, and she believes that this is a good deal. This is nothing, not a slight on her. This is what the enemy doing his job. I'm not calling car salesman enemy. I got a couple of them that live in our neighborhood, and obviously they do well. Amen. But using that as a metaphor to follow through, that what he's there to deceive her, to give her something. So now she has this deal is that what she has this from this fruit that they were forbidden to eat. And she brings it what to the husband, because what she wants him to be have the benefit of what she believes to be good. See, when if my wife brings me a deal from a car dealership of a car we're looking at, she bought it because she thought it was a good deal. She didn't bring it out of malice. She didn't bring it out of hate. She didn't bring it to bring us down. She brought it out. And so men, when your wives bring things to you, and oh, that's a thing, don't come with the thought that you just bring me this bad deal. No. As far as they know, it's a good deal. And it may very well be. Until it's what? It's examined. But watch this. So now we find what? Adam has the opportunity here to make a choice. And Adam even says that what? This is something that God told me that we couldn't do. And you've done it. Now, here what we find is that Adam, what? His gift here, which God has given him a gift. Now watch this. The Bible says it like this. The Bible says that gifts are given without repentance. What am I speaking at this morning? I'm speaking to you, not just from the context of Adam and Eve, not just I'm talking about marriage today, because I'm not really talking about any of those things. But what I'm really talking about, you, those who have dug a little deeper, those who read between the lines, is I'm talking about the giftedness that God is giving you. Is your gift getting you in trouble? But gifts are given without repentance, meaning that what? That same gift God is giving you for you to sing his praises, you can go out here and sing, as my granddad used to say, the boogie woogie. Mm-hmm. That gift that God has given James, that gave James Brown to have influence on people and do that, that gift that should have been in the church praising his name and lifting his name up on high and getting people to come to the altar and give saving, you know, but he decided that he wanted to take that gift and he wanted to bless the world with it. I do not find it strange that most of our best singers today have their beginnings in the church. When you go back and you look at it from Aretha Franklin to Patti LaBelle, all these people would tell you, yeah, I started out in the church choir. Mm-hmm. I started out in the church choir. I was singing. My mama was the choir director. My daddy was the pastor of the church in many cases. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of the best voices I've heard in the world started in the church. Yeah, well, I was singing in the church choir. If I'm not mistaken, I think even Beyonce, church. All of these people started where? In this place. They start out with this gift God had given them to bless people. And what did they do? They took it. And they took it for what? Personal gain. The Bible says it like this. What would profit a man to gain the world and yet lose his soul? Is your gift the source of your trouble? So here what? Now Adam finds his gift, Eve. Eve giving him a gift. So Adam has a gift from Eve. And instead of him examining the gift to see if the gift was good, what he did notice that this gift was something that was forbidden to him. Now this is the thing. And this is one of those things is that what you may be able to do, I may not be able to do what? Because of the calling that's on my life. There are some things that I desire to do that I know I cannot do. Why? Because of the calling of my life. Because God has me here. He has me preaching to the world. He has me projecting to the world. Not that these things are sin, but these things, the way they are perceived, could cause someone else to fall. I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. So therefore, what? Because of that, then there are some things that I do not do. Mm-hmm. There's some things that I don't disclose. Why? Because I do not want to cause someone else. Because if that's a struggle for them, is that something that they should not have? Case in point, some of you cannot ever go in a bar and witness. Why? Because alcohol is a vice for you. Alcohol has never been a vice for me. Never. Never wanted it. Never desired it. Never been a vice. So I can go in the bar, sit all day, eat all the peanuts and drink all the water and get all the Sprite that I want. You know, my friends my boys in the fraternity used to always accuse me of drinking up, where they said drinking up all their chaser. Those who used to drink or those who drink and those who still participate, you know what I'm talking about. So I'll be the one drinking up all the Diet Coke. All the Coke. I'll be the one drinking up all the Sprite or all the orange juice. Yeah, that was me. Amen. Amen. Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. Because I was there, but it was just never a thing for me. But some of you, that is. So therefore, maybe you shouldn't go minister in that area, right? Or maybe if you do, then you go with other people and all these kind of things. Why? Because this is advice for you and you know this. So since you know this is advice for you, what you do is what? You learn to deal with yourself according to knowledge. Right? So then what do we find? So then what we find here that now that Adam is examining this and find out, okay, I don't supposed to have this. But what does he do? Because it came from his wife. It came from his gift that God has given him. Now, notice what he's looking at. God has given him the gift. But remember, gift come without repentance. So the gift had given him a gift. So he's now decided to take that from his gift and to use it to his benefit. So then the Bible says what? Then he did eat. Then he did eat. And what do we find as soon as he ate? As soon as he ate, the Bible tells us that what? His eyes were open. His eyes were open. How many of you know When you get something you shouldn't have, then your eyes become open. His eyes were open. His eyes were open now to what? To know that he was naked. Why? His eyes were open to say, that which was covered over me has now been removed. How many of us used our gifts that God has given us for ill-gotten gains, and God has now removed himself from us? We're thinking that we out there doing our thing. We think we out there winning. We think, well, hey, I'm out here, I'm making this money, I'm doing this, and God has just removed his hand from it just as clean as day, and you feeling a cool air against your skin. See, one of the things I had to learn, and it took me a while to learn this, and I don't even know why. I guess because, you know, my father did it. My father, you know, always been a Bible teacher my entire life. So, you know, this was nothing I really desired to do. But then I found out that I had this gift for teaching, and I started going to school, and I ended up doing really, really well with it. It was something that came easy to me. It was part of my gifting. I like to believe that I inherited it. Okay. Now, with that, I always use that gift in what? In the world. I'm a mathematics teacher by trade. God has blessed me to do very, very well. Accolades, you know, for days and more to come. And even on this week, God is blessing me to speak to national audience twice, right? I'm going to speak to them twice this week. So y'all pray for me on that everything goes well. I'm speaking around the world, talking mathematics twice this week. Amen. The Bible said, your gifts will make room for you. But I'm going to tell you when my gifts really started making room for me. I made a decision that, and it just came all one day. I don't know what it took so long, but it came to me. It's like, Peter, you do all of this for those people at work and all around. Yet this is the gift I've given you, and yet you've not blessed me with it. That thing hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, but Lord, you know, and I started like, but God, what about this teacher that I don't know the Bible like that? And I'm like, but you didn't know the math like that. And what did you do? You studied, you put in your time, you put in your effort. And then what happened was what? You got better. You ran into other people and they showed you how to do things and you found videos. And now you put in the time and it came. Why am I any different? Once I had that conviction in my heart, I started right away saying, you know what? I got to start teaching Bible study and Bible class. And I did not start out. And I'm here to tell you, a lot of times, you know, I didn't think I did very well. But what I found is that as I did it more, God blessed that space. God opened it up. I got more opportunities to teach. There was others who wanted to be taught. And then we started to teach more. And more and more, as I alluded to earlier in our broadcast, then, you know, like to the point, you know, at our last ministry that God, you know, brought us out of to lead us here, that I started teaching there. And for like 12 years ago now, we were teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. And God just kept magnifying that thing. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger to the point on Sunday morning. Sometimes I had a crowd back there. Oh, my God. It was starting to rival what was in the sanctuary. Oh, come on, somebody. So God started making a gift, and then I saw that gift, and, you know, there's some things that came and happened to make me discouraged along the way, because that's the devil's job, is to discourage you. But when you know you got a gift, and then watch this, this is what happened. While I was working that gift in the church, God made my name great. Oh, come on. The Bible said he'll make your name great among men. God has made my name great as a teacher among men. Just on this line, and I don't boast, I boast in the Lord. Just on this week, the state of New York, some people from New York called me. I don't know who's talking about me. They called me and invited me to be part of this big panel in April. So y'all pray with me on that. God has put me on the international stage. And there's nothing I've done, but it's his goodness and his mercy. And God has allowed the favor of God. Favor, remember, I told y'all favor means what? Access. It don't mean you get stuff. It's access. And what do you do with that access matters. So what I'm learning is that I have to be who it is that he's called me to be in that space. Amen. And as I continue to be that person in that space, what does he do? He's continued to open it. So now what I'm learning is I go even harder in this space for you all. Why? Because as I go harder here, he opens up even more doors there. And I just don't do it just for him to open up doors there. But I do it. Why? Because the kingdom of God. Because what I realize is that the same people who are in my classes are the same people who are on Facebook. The people who are in my classes are the same people who are on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat or in Clubhouse. The same methods that I learned to be able to teach them to understand some of the hardest subjects in the world by most people's account, I can teach them how to understand the best book in the world in Jesus Christ. The same gifting that he's giving me there that he's telling me to give here and there, my gift is going to make room for me. And I'm here to tell you today as a living witness that even in this space, that God is what can continue to open up doors and expand us. And he's going to expand you. And what there he is, all he's asking you to do what is what step forth. So that's why I'm telling you, Sister Pam, it's going to be all right. That God is going to bless the women in the well. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And whoever come is going to come. And those who come, you're going to bless them. And you're going to speak to them. And you're going to speak life and not death. You're going to give them hope. And you're going to give them inspiration. They're going to learn how to take care of their husbands. And they're going to learn how to take care of each other and their children. And how to take care of themselves. Oh, come on, somebody. But what? Because this is what God has called them to do. I don't think it's by accident that our ministry here just at the Safe House Church in Greensboro, over half our congregation are teachers. I know we have a tendency, to attract who we are. You know, so that's why we got Sister Way up here in Texas. We got Sister Haywood down in South Carolina. We are teachers. And teachers, we got you. The Bible says, sheep begot sheep. And what I'm telling you are what? He's put us in this space that I'm a leader of leaders. I, even in my day job, what do? I teach teachers how to be teachers. So here in the kingdom, what I do, I teach kingdom believers how to teach others to be believers. It's not by accident that you're a part of this ministry. Everybody can't be a part of this ministry. Why? Because they don't have that anointing to carry on to teach. They don't have that anointing to know that I have to lead by example and it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something. This stuff is not free. What I do is not free. I have to put aside myself every week to make sure I'm hearing from God so I can be able to speak to you. Just like you put your time in, your prep time in to be able to prepare for your classes. And God is preparing you. Why? Because you and I, we have so much influence. I have more influence than I'm probably going to ever realize. And every now and then, God allows something to happen to remind me of that. He allows things to happen to you to remind you of that. While you have children who come up to you that you taught years ago, say, hey, you know, remember this? I remember one time I had a student that I taught years ago when I was actually teaching high school that said something to me that I didn't even know I even said. Didn't even realize it. And what did he do? He came in and he said something and he was talking about, man, when you said that changed my whole trajectory, man. And you know, this is the thing. My kids, I know my kids appreciate their daddy going to work and making sure that they can eat, even if they don't say it right now, because they're children. But I know there's a day and time that's coming that they'll be able to appreciate me, right? Why? Because I'm in that space now with my parents. It's nothing that I won't do for my parents. If they call me right now, as soon as I'm done, I'm in my truck to go do whatever I got to do after I talk to my wife. Why? Because I appreciate the 49 years that my father decided to stay on the same job, maybe not take promotions, not leave our city. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that we came up right. I appreciate that. It mattered to me. It mattered to my other four siblings. And now because it mattered, then what? Now I'm being able to do what I do right now to project to you because I came through a clean vessel. Woo! Parents, don't sell yourself short. God knows what he's doing. So now I can give them what honor and their praise. The Bible said what? In Ephesians, and we're going to talk about that this week. Ephesians 6 says what? Raise up a child in the way she go, and when they get old, they should not depart from him. He said what? That we honor our parents unto the Lord, for this is right. So I honor my parents today for the sacrifices they did. And now I'm here, I'm able to give them their flower, and I'm glad that they're able to live to be able to get their flowers right now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you all on today? So, what am I saying? Everything has a time and a season and a place, and that it's going to come back when it's time. But if that's your gift, why aren't you using your gift? Why aren't your gift blessing others? It's not yours. He gave it to you to give to somebody else. I've heard it prophesied earlier this year that this first quarter of this year was really about being believers, that we were going to be blessed beyond measure, but it was also about how much we can give to support others in the space. I'm asking you today, what are you doing? That God has given you talent. Some of you can sing and you don't use it. Some of you can code and do all these things with computers and you don't use it. Some of you are able to write and you're not writing books. You know, y'all see every now and then, I got a misspelling up here. That's not my forte. I do the best I can. But if God is giving you that gift and you part of the ministry, knock on the door. I need you. I need all the laborers. If you're ready to work, we got work for you to do. Because there's more to do. As I was telling my wife on yesterday, I understand one of the challenges of our ministry here, and I talk specifically about the Safe House Church, is that God has blessed us. I know some have other, you know, but financially, God has blessed us as a church. He's blessed us individually. People in the Safe House Church, we do well. And you know you do. And even in the middle of the pandemic, God has blessed us. But our challenge is going to be, can we give our time? Woo! I tell people quick, I give you my money before I give you my time. Why? Because I know I have the capacity to go make more. See, one thing I do not get more of is time. We're talking about gifts today. Is your gift the source of your trouble? We do not get any more time. What you got is what you got. I can make money. So yeah, maybe pastor asked us to sacrifice to give $100 or $200 or $300 here. Many of you done that. If I asked for it right now, I know many of you would do it. Wouldn't even think twice about it. And I'm grateful because then that allows us to do the things that we do. But more importantly, if I asked you, hey, let's go out here and let's go knock on these doors. Well, pastor, you know I gotta go do that. Oh, I know I'm challenging some of you today. And I know some may not like it, but this is what God has called me to do. This is the difference between being a pastor and me being an evangelist. If I'm going to be an evangelist, I ain't going to go there. And by the way, we had evangelist Houseman coming in. And I'm going to start advertising that. We do have our revival set. We're going forth. Amen. Our first online revival, y'all. I'll tell you, we're going forth in 2021. Amen. So, but my time. Why? Because I know Monday through Friday, Peter's working like a Hebrew slave is what I say. I'm doing all these different things. And then on Saturday, I don't want to do anything. I want to just go fishing all day. But sometimes that I can't do that. That means how much time have I spent with my family? How much time have I spent with my wife? How much time have I done the things around the house I need to do? What needs to be done? Do this need to be painted? Do the trash need to be emptied? Do the grass need to be cut? All those things cost me time. So in some instances, what I do is what? I pay for my time to be back. So maybe I pay for somebody to cut my grass. Oh, come on, somebody. So what? They benefit, right? Do y'all understand what I'm getting at? I know this is challenging you today, but I'm challenging you about your time. How much time are you spending with God? I know we come to church on Sunday morning and we great. And now we're in the pandemic. You don't even have to drive. It's not costing you any gas. All you got to do is get up, turn your phone on, turn your iPad on, turn on your computer. Some of you have TVs now. You know, Facebook does have a new app. It's called, I think, Live something. You can put the app on your TV and I've done it and you can watch it on your TV. I kid you not. So that all kinds of avenues, Roku, all these other things we got, right? Y'all know it. You ain't even got to roll out the bed. You ain't got to do your hair. You ain't got to brush your teeth. You ain't got to do none of that. You could be laying in your bed right now beside your spouse enjoying this service. So now I'm asking you, he's giving you this time to relieve, of relief to build and learn. What are you doing? Do you not know and realize that right now in the middle of this pandemic, this is the best time ever to be doing anything? This is the best time to start businesses? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling somebody right now. I don't believe these words are just falling out of my mouth. This is the best time if you're going to retool to go back to school. I told you, I got a PhD. I don't have to go back. I went back. Why? Because I see some things on the horizon. Because as what God, not only as God's man, but as the man and the priest of my home, like every man is the priest of their home, God has given me some intuition about some things. He said, Peter, I need you to do this. Or it'd be good if you do this. You know, you're going to be fine, but you can be better if you get this done. So therefore, I've gone back to school. And it's been tough. Why? Because now I'm being pastor. I'm professor. I'm being dad. I'm being hubby. All these spaces. And also being a student. But you know what? It's about time management, right? So I'm also learning to manage my time that, okay, I can't spend hours flipping through Facebook anymore. That's why y'all don't see me as much. I can't spend hours flipping through Instagram. Time that I used to waste, I can't waste anymore. There is no wasted time. He's giving me 24 hours just like he's giving you. It's about how we use it and the giftings that he's given us. So your gift, some of you saying, but pastor, I don't know what my gift is. Have you done enough things to try to find that out? See, you have to be out there. You have to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what empowerment is about. You have to be doing things, going forth. So here what? We find that what? Adam now is in a place. He makes a decision. He made a decision to eat it. And we ate it. Now it's opened his eyes. And now God is telling him, who told you that you were naked? And he's now naked. Why? Because he can feel the wind of uncoveredness, that he's uncovered. And now in this space, now he has what? To reconvene with God. And if you notice at this point, if you read on a little bit later, that you'll find that God did a couple of things. Then God, what? He after he scolded them, because the Bible says what? He chastised them who he loved. So a sign of him loving is him getting on your case. A sign of me loving you is getting on your case. I don't want to be fussy this morning, church, but it's we need to what? That time thing is big for Safe House.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use that time. Let's get why it's a sacrifice. Anything that's a sacrifice does what?
It hurts.
It hurts. That's why it's called a sacrifice. See, there's a difference between a gift and a sacrifice. A gift, I give it. If some people say, you know, they used to say that thing, give to it hurts, right? But see, if you really think about it, that is also like an oxymoron. Give to it hurts. If it's hurting, it's not a gift. It's a sacrifice. Excuse me. There are things that my wife do for me that I know is a gift for her. She gifted me these little Beat headphones here for Christmas. I'm grateful. She gifted those to me. But when I asked her, well, baby, look, I need to work a couple more hours at work or something's going on at the job and I can't leave like I want to leave. And I know I told you that I was going to be there. Now that's a sacrifice for her because I told her one thing that I was going to do. And now it was my intention to do it. And I have to change. I've been there a couple of times. Maybe you've been there. That's a sacrifice on her part. Because it's going to hurt. Why? Because she might have had a heart on doing whatever it is I said that I was going to do. And I want to do it, but maybe I'm in a position that I had to make a decision. And this is the decision I made, whether I agree with that decision or not. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. See, God's just dropping confirmation all over the place today, y'all. Uh-huh. So I may agree with it. She may not agree with it, but she sacrificed. Okay, there was a decision that was made. Adam sacrificed to believe Eve. There was a decision that was made. Whether it was a good decision or not, it's one thing, but there was a decision to be made. So now he goes on, and what do we see? So now he goes on to the point, and now God, like I said, he goes and scolds them, and he scolds them why? He told women that, okay, because of your disobedience, that he would do what? That your childbirth will be sorrow, and then you would always be subject to a man. And I know some people don't like that, but that's biblical. And you can get mad with God, not me. I'm just a messenger. All right. But then because of his fault, what did he tell him to do? Because you had the ability to say no, and you didn't. Now you got to go out here and you got to make a living. You got to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't working, he said, you're not going to eat. So therefore, now I have this responsibility to do work. I have this responsibility of child rearing. And I've said it before. Do you not know that child rearing is the man's responsibility? I know people, I don't make a lot of friends, but I'm a man's man. I know that because I'm going to tell you the truth. Child rearing is the man's responsibility. That's why it takes both parents. I know single parents do the best they can, but they'll never be able to replace them or vice versa, however this is set up. I do honor you and I respect you, but there's just some things they'll never be able to do. And it is what it is. And even those who've been raised by those would tell you that. Oh yeah, she was wonderful, but you know, I still just didn't get this. This is why it's imperative, men, that we do what we can to be in our homes. I know we got to work, we got to do these things, but we also got to do that part. And that's why my wife is my helpmeet. She helps me. So I tell her, I know I'm supposed to be there, and that's, again, this is the sacrifice, but I need you to help me with the children. I'm trying to get there, or this is, the, you know, that, or I've made a poor choice financially. Oh, come on, somebody. Can I just tell the truth this morning? I made a poor choice financially, And when I mean poor choice, meaning that don't mean I'm in debt, but maybe I bought something I should have bought. Or maybe I should have waited on something that I got. So now I got to what? I got to work longer, or I got to work overtime. Why? So I can have enough money to be able to pay for it. Do you see how that works? It don't mean that you did something bad. Maybe you just lived above your means a little bit. Maybe you, you know, so these things, I know sometimes people think these things are bad things. This is not the case. These are good things. You desire that your children to have this and this and that. They got all their needs, but some things that you wanted them to have. That's not a bad thing. The Bible says that it's no good thing that he want to hold from us. However, there's a difference between needs and wants. So sometimes I've made the choice financially myself. I can talk about me that, okay, I get this because I knew I had the ability to go make the money or make the money up to go get it. But at the same time, what I'm not thinking about is what time did I sacrifice from the family and the children? There's got to be a balance. And to be honest, it's a constant juggling act. I've not figured it out yet. I can tell you, as your pastor, I've not figured it out yet. Sometimes I'm like this. I've spent a lot of time with the family, especially during the pandemic. But then there have been times I've been like this, that I've just shut myself off. And to be honest, like Adam, I put the blame on God. How you do that, Pastor? Well, honey, I know y'all want to go do this, but I got to go study. And I do got to go study. I got to go study God's word. But the truth of the matter is, I know how I study. And for me, if I say I'm going to study, the first 20 minutes is me looking at other stuff because my mind is not there yet, because I kind of got to get in this mindset. You know, y'all know yourself. Okay? And then once I get in that mindset, now I might spend the next 3 or 4 hours in there, because once I'm in it. That's just how I am. You know, that's how I study. That's how I study anything. But it takes me a while to get there. I got to look at probably Facebook. I got to look at my text messages. I got to look at all my emails. And I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to be doing? And now 25, 30 minutes then pass. So I'm learning to be more efficient with my time. Nope, I got to stop doing that. If I say I'm going to do this, I got to do this. This is just me. I'm just telling y'all my process. I'm just trying to help you all. Because I know some of you need practical solution. Because you're in the same space. So, practical solution. Let me get on out of here. I'm about past my time. I got 4 points I want to leave with you real quickly. All right. So is your gift the source of your trouble? Gifts come, number one, for those who are taking notes, write this down. Number one, these are the 4 things I want you to dwell on this week about this. Number one, gifts come with responsibility. Adam was given the gift of Eve, and Eve was a responsibility. She was a responsibility. Right. So some of you think, oh, I got this. Or somebody gave me a puppy. Do you not know somebody gave you a puppy? It's a responsibility. Somebody gave you a car. It's a responsibility. And, you know, that car now needs insurance. That car needs to be maintained. It needs oil changes. It needs all this stuff. It is what? A responsibility. Somebody gave you a dog. Now this dog, what? It needs its shots. It needs to be taken out. It needs to be rubbed. It needs to be groomed. The nails need to be clipped. It has to be fed. It's a what? Responsibility. Notice, always watch this. Every gift you have comes with responsibility. I am responsible for maintaining my gift. Why? Because I got to study. Just because I can teach don't mean I can just come up here and just not look at anything and just get up here and start seeing stuff. Am I making sense to somebody? All right. Number two, practical things I want you to be able to walk away with. Your gift requires discipline or discipleship to enjoy. Your gift requires discipline / discipleship to enjoy. What do you mean? My wife gave me, I told you, I showed you all this. My wife gave me this beautiful gift of these Beat headphones. Why? Because your boy be exercising, right? And I done went through about 5 or 6 pair of these, and this is my first red pair. And, you know, there is some discipline with these I have to exercise. There's certain things I can't do with them. There's certain things I had to read about them. I had to figure out, because you know what I assume? I assume these right here work just like the last 4 or 5 pair I had. They're a little bit different. They work just as well for the most part, but there are some differences. So I had to what? I had to read the manual. Are y'all with me? I had to read the manual. What's that manual? Your Bible for some of you. Well, for all of us when it comes to that space. I had to read the manual. I had to spend some time. Because what I could find is this. Watch this. They would function a lot like the ones I had before, but I did not get the maximum output out of them until I read the manual. If I ain't said nothing else all day, I hope you walked away with that. I did not get the maximum of all the things that these can do that the others didn't do until I read the manual. Why? Because I assumed that this was that. I assumed that this was that. So therefore, God has put some of you in a new season. He's put you in a new place. He's giving you a new job. He's giving you a new spirit. He's giving you a new year. And there you go, assuming this is that. So what do you mean, Pastor? What are you saying? What I'm saying is he's giving you new opportunity and you assume, oh, God, you're speaking to me. Thank you, Lord. You assuming that this is that. Why? Because it looks similar. It looks familiar to you. So now you kind of dogging it. Woo, y'all, I got to get this myself. Now you're dogging it. Why? Because I know this. I've done this before. How many of you, when you first get your new iPhone? Mm-hmm. Here's mine right here. When you get your new iPhone, you didn't have an iPhone one or two times. For me, this was probably like the fifth iPhone I had. In my mind, they pretty much all work the same. But that's not true. Because this iPhone here, almost the newest don't have a home button. This one got a little button that I press. You know, the other ones have screens like this, and they turn on this way, and you can do this to them, and you can do that. And what I find out sometimes is people, and in particular, I mean people, some of my students were teaching me, said, well, Doc, why don't you just do this on your phone? And I'll be like, what you mean, your phone can do that? They're like, oh, yeah, you got this one. You can do this, and you can do that. And here I am being taught about my phone by my students because I refuse to read the manual. How many of us would people come into the space and teach us about things that we should be teaching them because we simply refuse to read the manual? How do you maximize your gifting? Is your gifting the source of your trouble? Why? Because, see, this is the thing about gifted people. You often hear people say gifted people are kind of almost like they're tormented, or the gifted people are always the ones in trouble, this and this. Why are they like that? I'm going to simply tell you why. Because they rely on their gift and not their work. Woo! Come on, somebody. They rely on their gift and not their work. I'm included in that space. Can I get up here and do some things sometimes? Oh, yes. Have I winged it one or two times? Absolutely. Have I gone to class and winged it a couple of times? Mm-hmm. Yeah. As times I've gone through the motions with things my wife wanted me to do, I'm certain there's times that she's gone through the motions with things that I wanted her to do. We all do it. Don't make it right, but we do it. And how many of us do that with God? How many of us do that with our gifts? Yep, God has, you know, blessed me to be able to sing, but I don't practice singing. Yep, he's blessed me to write, but I don't practice writing. Yep, he's blessed me to be able to do finance, but I don't practice finance. Are y'all picking this up from me this morning? Are y'all getting what I'm saying? So these things, what? He's calling us to a deeper level. All right, let me get on out here because I'm well over my time this morning, but I'm assuming somebody's getting some out of this. Number three, your gift has to be released to be effective. The gift has to be released to be effective. I had one of my friends teach me one time, and I never thought, and it's always stayed with me. He told me, he said, Peter, hand me your hand. And he's like, close it up like a fist like this. And he said, if I want to give to you, you can't receive it. But also, you cannot give to anybody else. But if your hand is open, I can give to you and you can give to somebody else. Many of us are in a position, we want people to give. We like that little bird. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. My, 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 my. But the truth of the matter is, a number of you are in position to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. There are some giftings that you do have. There's some things that you can help. There's some things you can change. And you tell yourself, it ain't gonna matter. I'm telling you, it matters. It matters. Stop telling yourself that it doesn't matter. Because it does matter. The Bible has all of us and all our giftings in part of this. Because just like, that's right, Adrian, you said it. Just like when I give you this, you may be giving me this. And there is a what? A exchange. You needed this little jump drive right here I got to save your work. I needed your pen to write down my thoughts. We help each other in the space. There are things that you bring to the table that I never even thought about. To be honest, I didn't even think about a women's ministry until Sister Pam brought it. Why? Because I was so stuck in, we in this pandemic, and when we gonna get back to the building? I mean, I thought about it, but it's like, well, nobody's really feeling it. We just be here. But I knew there was a void there. But I knew also at the same time, I did not have the gift to fulfill it. Why? Because I'm not a woman. And the Bible said, let the older women teach the younger women. Mm-hmm. So if I did it, I'd have been doing it just because I wanted to do it, but I wouldn't have been in the will of God to do it. Y'all hit me this morning. So if we want to do, we want to be in his will, then I need to look, do it the way he say do it. So I'm like, okay, God, we don't have anybody. Who you sending? And here comes Sister Pam. Pastor, you know, I want to, you know, I just believe God is, you know, this is where he has me. And, you know, and I won't sure about this space. And this is what I believe in my heart to do. And I'm just sitting inside like this, like, yes, 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 yes. Because God answers prayer in his time. He didn't answer into what? We were ready to go to that next level. Right. And then here come the men's locker room. And now we got this space. And now it's like, OK, well, we got this. Well, what about the children? And here comes Sister Webb. Oh, and Sister Nicholson. Oh, it's just coming together. It's slow, but it's going to be show. Anything that takes time to grow stays. Do you not know the life cycle of a fly is 30 days? A fly is an adult when it gets here. Did you know that? Why? So they in the adulthood since they get here. Why? So they can reproduce real quickly. Because if they don't reproduce real quickly, then they'll go away. Come on, my bug people. Dr. Jordan, Dr. Smith, y'all help me out. I know y'all study them bugs, right? That's what they tell me. That's why they have to reproduce so fast. So be careful of those things that reproduce that fast, right? Because they have short lifespans. But those things, they're going to last a while. They tell me, you take that acorn, you plant that acorn. We got a tree right now in the backyard. It's been a year. That thing don't look like it grew an inch, but maybe an inch or two. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Smith is telling me, yeah, I'm on to something here, all right? You know, and that acorn that's in that tree, that acorn, what? It grows up, and as it continues to grow, what happens? It makes a tree. That tree is going to probably, that tree, it's probably going to outlive me when it's in this yard. It's going to be big. It's going to have branches. It's going to have birds that's going to nest in it. At some point, we'll probably have squirrels and all kinds of stuff. Then I'm going to have to start getting up leaves. But by that time, hopefully Preston is going to be out there getting them leaves up. You see what I'm saying? So it takes time. And just like anything else, this ministry, what? It takes time to grow and manifest to be what it is that God calls it. Because people need practical solutions in this day. I saw the man of God crying on TV on yesterday. Why? Because people need solutions and people that prophesy and prophesy to the point that they prophesied. It is what it is. They lied. Some of them didn't miss them all. They knew what they were doing. And then they asked them people for a dollar. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know we don't do that here. Ask them for a dollar before they tell them anything. Shame on you. I said it. Come shut me up about it. And I tell you to your face, shame on you. I feel my Johnny Lee coming out in me, y'all. Woo! But anyway, last part, and I know I got to go. Number four, stop looking for perfection in something that is given to you. Watch this. Some of you have been given gifts, and you don't use the gift. Why? Because you said it ain't ready. Notice this. Again. Using my little example here, my wife gave me these for Christmas. Now, how she gave them to me was how she gave them to me, right? But what if they came with a chip on them? What if the little earpiece in here was not in here? I could choose not to use them and complain about them. To be honest, I probably would have. No, and I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings. So I would have found another way, because I probably got, like I said, I've had several pairs of these. I would have had another police. And what would have happened is she would have saw me. One of them would have been red. The other one would probably been green or blue or whatever I had left. And she'd be like, well, why are they two different colors? And then I would have been like, oh, when you gave them to me, it was missing this. And you know what she probably would have said? You should have told me. I would have sent them back, or I would have taken them back, and I would have gotten you a proper pair.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the what? She's the giver of the gift.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So with her being the giver of the gift, I do not have to perfect the gift. The gift was given to me. All I'm being required to do is it's mine and I'm to use it. And what? If she saw problem with the gift, she could get the gift fixed. Because what? She's the person of origin of the gift. Do you not know that God already knows when he gave you the gift that you had some issues? Do you not know that God already knows that you was going to be, you know, out here dipping and dabbing? You was out here, you know, you was going to be in the club. He knew you was going to be drinking. He knew you was going to be smoking. He knew you was going to be out here and you was going to be a little bit more promiscuous than you should have, you know, you should have been. He knew you were going to be out here cussing folks. He knew your mouth was nasty and you was vile. He knew you had a stinking attitude. He knew that you liked to steal money. He knew that, he knew all these things. When he gave it to you. Because what? Again, your gift comes without repentance. He knew that. But he also knew that if you got in the capacity and you started using that gift he's giving you for him, he also knew that that same gift was going to catapult you to a position that he was going to get the glory. What I do today, I do not glory in myself. I do not boast in myself, but I boast in the Lord of hosts. Why? Because it's he that's given me. I know the dumb stuff I've done. I know the vile things I've done. I know the vicious things I've done. I know some of the stupid stuff I've even thought about doing, as well as you do, of yourself. However, in all of that he did, what did he say? What did he tell Paul? Go forth. What did he tell Peter? Go forth. Show me one man in the Bible that had his gift perfected. I'll wait. The problem is I don't have all day to wait. Because they're in there. There was only one who had a perfected gift. And he came to die for all sin. He came to die for you. He came to die for me. So I leave you with this today. Ask yourself all week, is my gift the source of my trouble? In that way, I'm troubled because I know I'm not working up to my full capacity. In some cases, some of you are not even using 10%. And that's why you're troubled. That's why you feel, I'm not reaching life's goal. I'm not reaching this. I'm not doing that. That's why you feel frustrated. Why? Because you know that you're dogging it. You know you're cutting them short. You know, people ask me sometimes, so, man, how do you find time to do all this? I do not know. But you know what? God has kept me healthy. You know, I got a beautiful family. I find time. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to spend time with them when I get done with y'all. And we're going to go over here and I'm going to roll in the floor with my kids. And I'm going here and I'm going to hug on my wife. And what? We're going to find time to do what it do. And you know what? And then a couple of hours from that, I'm going to come up here back in this room and I'm going to work. And I got some work I need to do. There's some things I need to do. And then I'm going to find time to watch that Denzel movie today. I'm going to find time to do it because I'm going to find some time to unwind. And I'm going to find time to get up here and do the other things I need to do to prepare myself to go to work for the rest of the week. And then I'm going to go to bed. Heck, I might even get outside and run a little bit. It's a little rainy, but if it starts raining, I need to get my little exercise in. Because the Bible said, it'll be a time for it. It will work itself out. But what are you doing? He's waiting for you to make the first move. Recap, I'm going to finish this, and I've never been this long, and I apologize for y'all. But four things. Remember, this is what you work on this week. All right, four things. Gift comes with responsibility. Gift comes with responsibility. Two, your gift requires discipline to enjoy. Discipline, discipleship to enjoy. Why? Because they're going to teach you how to maximize your gift. You know, I've studied years to be a teacher. I studied with others, you know, there's others. I would love to sit at the feet of Bishop Noah Jones to learn how to teach better. I love his teaching gift, what God has given him and how he does things, how he explains, you know. So if Bishop Jones, you reading, you listening, somebody, y'all know him, y'all send him my way. I want him. You know, I know he's frustrated right now about some things, but hey, I want Bishop, reach out to me because we'll be there. Zoom, we'll be zooming it all day. All right. Then the next thing, number three says, gift has to be what? Released to be effective. It can't do anything if you hold it in your pocket. The money is no good. Remember, they call money currency. Why? Because it flows. It moves. And the money's no good just sitting in your pocket. In fact, this is why we have to give you interest on it, because it's actually going down, sitting there. And then number four, stop looking for perfection in something that was given to you. It was given to you. It's not your job to expect it to be perfect. It ain't going to be perfect gift. It's going to be a gift that you have to spend time developing with what? Intimacy. I go back to what God was doing in the beginning. What was he doing? He was looking for Adam in the cool of the day, and he called out Adam. Why? Because he was about to spend some time so he can pour into Adam and they can have an intimacy relationship. He can be intimate with him in relationship, in that he pours into Adam what he wanted him to have for that day. God bless you all. Love you all. I know I'm way past my time, but I hope that this has been a blessing with you, to you all. I didn't know it'd be like this. I didn't think it would go this far, but you know, I do believe in letting the Holy Ghost have its way. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to each and every one of you who stayed around to be able to hear what I believe God has given me to share here with the Safe House Church and those who follow us here in ministry at the Safe House. Amen. At this time, I want to pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous word that was shared on today, oh God. Lord G, for you know that which you want to say, Lord G, you know that which you wanted to go forth. Lord, I ask that you bless your people, Lord Jesus, that they will see you and know you in a better way, oh God, that we'll use our giftings, we'll use our talents, Lord G, we'll use our time to bless you, oh God. Lord Jesus, that, Lord Jesus, that we'll take that which you've given us, Lord Jesus, and watch you give the increase, watch you give the multiplier, and make it, Lord Jesus, greater than we ever even thought of, oh God. For you said, Lord G, that you would make our names great, oh God. And Lord, I trust you. Lord, sometimes I don't see my way through. Oh, I don't see my way through. Lord, I don't know sometimes if it's going to be today or tomorrow. But I trust you, oh God. And we trust you, Lord Jesus. We don't know when this pandemic is going to end, oh God, but we trust that you're going to keep us through. Lord, we don't know when it's going to stop, oh God. We don't know when the pain sometimes is going to end, oh God. But I believe that you're developing us through this, oh God, that when we come forth, oh God, that we'll come forth as the butterfly, Lord. We'll come forth as fruitful, Lord Jesus. We'll come forth as magnifying your name, oh God, to know that it was not us that kept us, oh God, but it was you that kept us, oh God, in this space, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bless, Lord Jesus. I ask that you touch those in their bodies, oh God, who may be sick, oh God, those who are dealing with things, oh God. I ask that you bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, oh God. Lord, I ask that you help them in this space. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, help us in this space, oh God. Give us the strength to endure. Give us the strength to endure, oh God. Goodness, Lord, give us the strength to endure. Hardness is a good soldier, oh God, for we don't know which that which we face, oh God, but you know, for you hold our tomorrow and I your hand. And even if you don't, Lord, I know you still live. Even if you don't, Lord, I know you still can. Even, Lord, if you say, Lord Jesus, this is it, I know that you're able and you can to bless your people. Lord, I ask you to do all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus. Let me go forth this week, Lord Jesus, knowing, Lord Jesus, am I the source of my own trouble and my gifting that you've given me? Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, Lord. We ask you to do all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. If God has given you anything on this day, hallelujah, Jesus, to be a blessing to this ministry, I ask that you be a blessing to this ministry at this time. Here at the Safe House Church, if you decide to write a check or a money order, it can be made payable to Finding Fish Ministries. That's P.O. Box 862 Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862 P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Also, you can find us on the Cash App at Safe House Church GSO. Again, that's Safe House Church, that's $ Safe House Church GSO. Or you can hit us up on the PayPal, paypal.me/ministry aid. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry aid. God bless you all. Those who are tithing and offering, just make sure you know you put it on there and it'll go to where it's supposed to go. Everything that you put into the Safe House goes right back to this ministry. Amen. It goes back to blessing this ministry and all the beautiful video and internet and all these different things you see, the women's group that's coming up. Amen. Again, I want to make sure that we know about the Women at the Well that's coming. Women at the Well, Women at the Well. This is starting for women on February the 8th, not this Monday. We wanted to make sure we had some things in place. We want to give you a chance to advertise. But again, on February the 8th, men on Thursday nights, we have already up and going on Thursday nights. We have to lead the way. Thursday nights, you can meet us there at the locker room. Go to the church website. That will give you the link that you need to go into there. Amen. And we're just so grateful for you being there. God bless you all on this day. I hope that this has been a blessing to you on this morning. I apologize. I went a little longer than I would like to have gone. Typically, amen, I try to have you out of here by 10:30 on average, but this morning God is just taking us down. And I ask that you all, y'all continue to pray for me. You know, I have my struggles, I have my things and my doubts, but I trust God. And I trust what he's doing with this ministry. I know many have put their mouths on it and said it won't be this, it won't gonna be that. And many have done this and many have done that. Some have done whatever they could to try to make it fall. But nonetheless, God knows, and we trust him in this space. And I ask that you trust him, that you trust him, you trust him, y'all. He's got our back. And through it all, we're going to look back and say, how did we come over? How did we made it this far? I'm grateful in this space. God bless you all, every single one of you. I'm so grateful to each and every one of you here in this space. If the Lord's will, we see you all on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we'll be finishing up our Bible study that we've been in for the last couple of months. We've been in Ephesians, and we are finishing the last part of Ephesians 5. We're going to roll over to Ephesians 6. Amen. And then when we get done with Ephesians 6, I believe God is calling us to Acts. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Acts. Also, mark on your calendars, we're going to have a revival, online revival. I want you to go ahead and put that on your calendars. Look forward to that. That is going to be, I want to get those dates for you. We're going March the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. March the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. It's going to be at 7 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. I know I have to say that now because we have others in other positions. Amen. But it's going to be March the 10th, 11th, 12th online, just like you find us on Sunday morning. We're going to have evangelist Douglas Hauselman. I think I'm saying his name right. That's going to be with us. We'll start sending out some flyers and things of that nature. Invite others to this space. We look forward to a powerful time in the Lord, which that God has given us. This will be the first revival we've ever had at the Safe House Church. And I find it interesting that it's going to be an online revival. Amen. But nonetheless, God will do what he wants to do. If all hearts and minds are clear, I ask that you all go forward, be safe this week, and know, be careful to make sure that your gift is not the source of your trouble. God bless you all. I love you all. You have a tremendous, tremendous week, and we'll see you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture.
Just another word
they heard. Pastors living pulpits
because they're tired.
It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people. I'm just one of them old people who's got to hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got to hold on. And I believe, I believe. Oh, I believe. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by.
No, it ain't perfect, but that's all right. His hands on me, and he's keeping me alive.